Your guess is as good as mine. Coming up, our categories today, the states that spend the most on fast food and rat-infested cities. That's coming up after emails on our question, when did you need or lend a helping hand? And animals need that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Told the story many times about jumping over the cliff there at Golden Gardens to save Miles the dog.
That dog sucked, too.
Ah, but there are more.
Yeah, I should let him die.
I mean, well, look, you can't. What I'm saying is, I know deep down you wanted to, but you can't.
That is correct.
Yeah. I mean, look, that dog, seriously, that dog sucked. And I know it had to be one of those, all right, like this is the perfect excuse to not have to deal with this dog anymore, but I can't do it.
It's almost like families. I knew a couple families growing up that had five or six kids. And for the most part, they're all very similar. But there was one family where one of the kids who was my age, who was in my class, he was the one that sucked. Like he was. Like his sisters were cool. His younger brothers were cool. Like,
but he sucked.
He was just a D-bag.
Right.
Like, all the time. Golden Retriever is safely back on the ground after becoming stuck in a tree in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. The Gladwin Volunteer Fire Department shared on social media that a dog named Bentley, a Golden Retriever, somehow climbed into a precarious position in a tree surrounded by heavy brush. And was unable to get down. The dog climbed the tree. They used a ladder to get the thing out of the top of the tree. Firefighters responded, safely rescued Bentley, bringing him down using a large ladder. Yes, the fire service has been dealing with cats stuck in trees for many years now. But we like to be unique, according to the fire department. Bentley was not injured and no firefighters were hurt during the rescue. But the Golden Retriever did, in fact, climb up in the tree. And he looks like the Bentley we know.
Yes, I was going to say, I know a Bentley, who's a Golden Retriever, and yes, he looks exactly like that.
Yeah. Now we have a story out of Kentucky. A missing Kentucky dog and his owner have been reunited after a harrowing fall and a coordinated cliffside rescue operation. On July the 11th, the Wolf County Search and Rescue Team posted on Facebook, the owner of a dog who had been missing for 4 days called for help when he finally heard faint barks from a cliffside. Search team members said the dog fell from an approximately 65-foot cliff and became stranded on a narrow ledge nearly halfway down the mountain. Our team responded and conducted a high-angle rope rescue operation to safely reach the anxious pup.
High-angle rope rescue.
Mm-hmm. After carefully securing the dog, rescuers brought him back to the top, where he was reunited with his relieved and grateful owner. Thankfully, they say the story had a happy ending. Team thanked its volunteer members who put the time and dedication into learning life-saving techniques for humans as well as their four-legged companions. Every life matters, and we're thankful that this one made it home.
I mean, look, it's not that it's funny, but sometimes rescues go wrong, all right, whether it's animals or people. And this video has been out there forever now, but it's like the two old guys in, like, Scotland or something that I guess had rescued a hawk with, like, a broken wing. Whatever they did, they nursed this thing back to health was the point. So they had grown attached to it.
And it was a falcon. Pedigree falcon.
And peregrine falcon.
Yeah.
And they're in a park, and they're already kind of sad because they got to say goodbye to it. And they're, you know, let it go. They're going to let it fly through free. And, again, it's two old dudes. And you can just see on their face, like, hey, we did a good thing. Time to say goodbye. And they let go of this falcon. And it takes off just as majestically as you think, kind of does a U-turn in the air, but when it does a U-turn in the air, it starts flying the opposite direction. Its flight path is directly over a highway, and an 18-wheeler smashes the bitch. I mean, within like 3 seconds of them letting him go, and the looks on their faces when they realize what has happened, it's sad, but you're like,
it's sad,
wow,
but it's also kind of awesome.
That did not last long, but then there's a video Miles was showing me.
But like you always say, why did they release it next to a highway?
Well, you don't think the bird
they're kind of in a cornfield, probably 100 yards off of the...
It's not like they just stood in the
pretty
highway.
Close to that highway.
They let it go, and it flew over the highway and got hit. Damn, that was funny.
For the first time in a minute, it took flight. Like, it's going to take a second to get up there. I'm with Ted. Why are you out there next to the doggone highway?
Okay, but this goes back to bison guy, right? You're 100 yards away. The recommended, the bison takes off, it messes you up. In this case, they were far enough from the highway where I don't think they thought it was going to fly into the road. They thought wrong, and then the bird died. But Miles showed me a video. I'm not sure what the rescue was about. And I believe this is like England or Ireland. And there was a guy. So there are probably 12 rescue guys there. They're on top of a very grassy hill. It looks like the kind where they do the cheese roll kind of thing. And he's on a stretcher, but he's strapped to the stretcher. But he's on a gurney. So they're trying to roll him down the hill.
I don't think they were trying to roll him down the hill. I don't know
what do you think?
I don't know what the hell happened.
Long story short, dude falls. Keep in mind, he's strapped to a board. So
have you seen this?
No.
Oh, my God. You have to. He falls off of the stretcher, starts rolling down the hill, man. And it's
start cruising.
It was. He didn't roll down the hill. I mean, he is. Are you watching it now?
He didn't throw that. Oh, no.
Tim, if you can find that, throw that up on YouTube.
This looks like Benny Hill. He's going down like a luge.
I mean, they're trying, man. Yeah. They're trying to help this guy.
Sorry. Here's good times. Man. We head to Indiana. Several people were rescued from the White River around Noblesville after conditions became dangerous on Sunday. Sheriff's office says several people, and this also happened in Missouri, so it's not much different. We're enjoying the river recreationally when conditions became dangerous, including rising water levels and a swift current as a result of Saturday's heavy rain. Plus log jams and debris in the river also make conditions even more dangerous, according to the sheriff's office. Now, as far as flooding goes, when my grandparents actually had to relocate their home because they put a flood wall where it was located on the river.
All right.
There's just not a lot of room in West Virginia for homes. So most of the time it's in a valley. It's in a holler is what they call them.
Yeah.
But so this.
Why do they call them hollers? Isn't there some reason?
I don't know.
But
it's a hollow. But they call it
that's
a hollow.
Why. It's a hollow.
Just, I think it's
right,
just the
comes
way they
out
pronounce
holler.
It. Yeah. It's a holler. But when the flood came, they had a two-story house, and all the water level got to the first floor ceiling, which was about 12 feet, 10 feet.
Jesus.
So this is an old house, and so the water was very, very high. They were all upstairs, and there was a window, that like a couple of windows on the side of the roof, so you could climb out on the roof.
What
was called? Like little dormers or whatever the hell they
Something
are.
Something like that.
But the rescue boats were coming up and bringing food. But everything that they owned that could float was floating up through the staircase.
Yeah.
So they're basically just sitting there fishing for their stuff and seeing what would come up, because a lot of it was actually flowing outside of the house and along with the current of the river.
Yeah.
So they're losing half the crap out the front door, out the windows, because all those busted out. But the stuff that flooded up to the top, they basically just sat there for days and waited, and they were bringing them like cheese sandwiches, crackers.
But they can't. Why couldn't they put them in a boat and get them out of there? I'd be like, guys, I appreciate it, but you got room on the boat?
Well, because there were so many people in that neighborhood, and they were not equipped to be able to rescue. These are neighbors.
Okay, this is not a rescue.
This is the National Guard is not there. These are just people trying to, you know, help out their local neighbors and do the best they can. I'm sure they took some elderly people out of there. But
sure.
My grandparents were probably in their 30s or 40s when this goes down, so it's not the same exact situation. But I just being in that house after the fact, because eventually the Tennessee Valley Authority came in and blew all their houses out, built a flood wall and put them up on the mountain. But you could see, because you could see where the line was, still in the living room and in the dining room, how high the water was. Like, it messed up the plaster. Like, they painted it, but you could still see.
You could see it. We saw it in New Orleans, obviously, post-Katrina. But my wife and I were down there like 10 years ago now, whatever. But we went to the Treme. At that point, the show was hitting big, and the neighborhood was kind of turning around. But the Treme, basically, the neighborhood is on a hill. Right, but it's all kind of like row homes, and it starts at the bottom and it climbs its way up. And we came from the top, so I wasn't really thinking about Katrina, but you realize the lower you walk down this hill and start looking at the sides of houses, you can see exactly where the water line was. So when you get to the very bottom, those houses were pretty much completely submerged, but you could go probably 5 or 6 blocks up, and it's a steep hill, and still see the water line. I'm just like, my God, man. And then we watched one of these shows about natural disasters, but they covered New Orleans with Katrina and all this, and they're showing actual footage from it and talking to a bunch of the survivors. It is insane. So you're talking about, you know, people getting swept out, or there was a guy who had held onto a tree for like 9 hours, and the rescuers, they couldn't go over with the helicopter because it would blow something over, but they finally rescue this guy. And this is not him on the news. This is just being recorded in real time. And the guy from the fire department's just like, my God, man, how long have you been out there? He's like, I don't know, man. I think it's been like 9 hours. Like, you held onto a tree for 9 hours. It took you 9 hours to get here. brothers always say, I wasn't letting go of the tree, man. But they kept showing footage of him when he's holding it. And it's you couldn't really see him. It's just more they heard his voice. And then when you kind of focused on the tree, you started seeing the outline of the guy. But, man, their stories are freaking crazy. They're talking about all the people that went.
I mean, water's just so destructive.
It's remarkably
destructive. And I don't think people fathom, like, obviously, when those levees breach, right? Because they had already survived the storm. But yeah. Those levees breach, and that water just keeps coming.
That was
like,
the thing.
Right, like, on a lower note, right? Like, I remember it was last summer or something. My buddy Will was with his family down at, like, one of the beaches we grew up going to.
All right.
Same thing. There's a hurricane or, you know, I think.
Was last August?
Yeah, like tropical depression or whatever. Yep. But like basically, you know, his kids are, I think the oldest is like 12 or 13. So him and his wife just went out to get like a nightcap. And like they basically got stuck in a bar because the water had come in while they were in there. And there was like 3 feet of water. And they were, and the people in the restaurant were like, you really shouldn't walk through that. And they're like,
kids.
And they're like looking at the hotel, like, well, our kids are over there. Like, we got to get over there. But yeah, he said the same thing. He was like, it was terrifying. Like, it seemed fine. Then all of a sudden, that wall of water comes in. And he's like, there's nothing you can do.
No. And think about the wall of water. Like, in addition just to the water, whether you can swim or it's pushing, just all the crap that it carries with it. So they're saying, like Katrina, they're like, the water did damage to property, but a lot of the human life, it's not so much that you drowned in the water, it's that you ended up in the water, and either it slammed you into a car that it was dragging.
Or something else.
Or took a broken tree and, you know, put it through your body. I'm like, my God, man.
Kind of like a tornado. It's not that you're in the wind. It's what's in there with you.
Yeah, they saw the fire, like, dead cattle with, like, just, like, pieces of hay. Yeah. But it's just blown into them, like, you know, shotgun shrapnel. And I'm like, good
Well, that's the weird thing about working on radio. Doesn't matter what the deal is. You got to get your ass in here.
Oh, yeah.
So that you can tell everyone else to
stay home.
Exactly. There was a tornado.
In case you didn't know.
A tornado went through my neighbor's, and I was doing a morning show, and it went through his backyard. It knocked all like 4 or 5 huge oak trees down in his backyard. It did not make it to my yard. It went the other direction. But the wind was so strong at the time, one of the trees that was in his yard kind of fell over the top of my driveway.
Yeah.
So I could not back my car out. So now it's 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. Thank God it was the eye of the hurricane because I kind of opened everything up so you could see. And me and my neighbor were out there for probably an hour to 45 minutes cutting the tree into pieces and rolling the logs onto the side of my yard just enough for me to be able to back out of my driveway and get my car out of the garage.
To go to work to tell
then
people
to obviously. To work, you know, to give reports, you know, because look, they're calling you. Like, they're calling, like, are you going to make it in here? We need you in here. No one else can make it in based on where they live. And I'm like,
why do they think you can make it in?
Because I always did.
I think something's never changed.
I think that's what I mean. Seriously.
We hear that now. Traffic's really bad for them. Like, traffic's bad for every damn body. Get your ass into work, man.
Yeah. We head down to San Francisco. Authorities in San Mateo County rescued 3 people after their sailboat capsized in San Francisco Bay over the weekend. And that's cold water. 3 peninsula residents are safe after they were rescued from a capsized sailboat over the weekend. About 1:30 yesterday, deputies from the Marine Unit of the San Mateo County Sheriff's Office were training, which was lucky, in the water near a bridge when they heard a water rescue call. And 2 of the boats responded. Deputies learned that a sailboat capsized in the water and 3 people were clinging to the side of the vessel. The boat was located about a half a mile east of San Francisco International Airport. So you know exactly where that is if you've ever flown into to San Fran. According to the sheriff's office, 3 people appeared uninjured but were shaking from exposure to the freezing cold water. And they were taken to a marina and evaluated by EMS and firefighters. That, to me, would be to be in open water in a situation where it's freezing cold. That's another one that I just never want to deal with.
No, I agree. No. How long does a capsized boat stay afloat?
Depends on the vessel and how it was damaged. Yeah. Right, so if it ran into something, it could sink.
Right. But if it's just upside down.
If it capsizes, there's a chance there's going to be an air bubble underneath it, and it'll float for a while.
Might depend on the boat, too.
What's that?
Seems like sailboats, if they capsize, will float for a while. Right. It seems like if you're in like a, I don't know, like a speedboat or a yacht or something, that starts taking on water. It seems like you're just going down.
That's what
did you guys see the boat that burned down on Lake Washington over the weekend?
No, this past weekend.
I mean, huge. This boat was huge. I don't know how many people were on this boat, how they got them all off, but I tell you this. I mean, they had a, I bet 20 people were jumping in the water.
Yes. The that. Boat's on fire, man.
No, did you see a picture of the boat?
I did not.
No, that's pretty big.
So I always wonder about that. One of the things they said about the Titanic, right? So obviously we know the story, but they said a lot of the people that were still swimming away, trying to swim toward lifeboats, that when the boat went down because of its weight, it sucked all of these people down. And that to me.
That makes sense.
It makes absolute sense. But just hearing it, I'm like, that to me is the most terrifying. Like, I've made it off the boat. I can see the lifeboat. I'm swimming there. And then the boat goes under and just, you're sucked down until you're dead.
Did you see that the Mythbusters tested that?
No.
So they basically tested the theory because that was the one that went out there, but it's hard to prove, right? So what they did.
Yeah, a little hard to prove.
They rigged it up to where they had it was a box basically that you could sit crisscross on this box, and they weighted it to where when it hit the water, it shot down to the bottom.
Okay.
And they sat him on top of it. And that box, just that small box, drove him all the way to the bottom of that thing.
Really?
He said it was the wildest thing that he had felt, that he just pulled him all the way down. That thing that small. You put the Titanic out there, yeah,
saying you're getting sucked down.
I have no doubt whatsoever that it pulled people all the way down.
They said because you heard screaming, you heard crying, and then when the boat went under, it was dead silent. And I'm like, see, that bugs me on a level I can't even explain, man. Mm-hmm.
Here's my favorite story, though, over the weekend, besides the guy getting thrown up in the air 8 feet. A hike up of a UK's tallest peak turned into a rescue operation after a black Labrador collapsed on the Ben Nevis Trail.
It's a big one, Weezy.
Likely after eating someone's bag of weed that they left behind.
Oh.
Dog trainer.
Did he eat it before or like during the hike?
During the hike. A dog trainer named Christina Bloom says Tokyo, her normally energetic working dog, lost the use of her legs and drifted in and out of consciousness halfway up the 4,500-foot mountain.
Drugs!
During a trip to Scotland last weekend, a local mountain rescue team stretched the 55-pound dog down to Crown Vets in Fort William, where staff told them they suspect Tokyo had ingested a whole bag of marijuana that was left along the trail. The dog was unconscious for most of the descent, but had fully recovered by the next day. They praised the rescuers for their kindness and professionalism, and now are urging people to be more careful when tossing drugs and other substances, even in seemingly remote locales.
Why would you toss your drugs first?
Somebody must have dropped that. I can't imagine anybody just tossing a bag of weed, especially mid hike. It's too heavy.
I agree. Somebody out there heard the story and said, hey, dude, I know where our weed went.
Oh, trust me.
But we're going to keep it quiet.
I've had to take an animal to, you know why, because if they eat.
Did he eat weed? Did he eat a brownie?
Ate the entire, I had a little tray of weed on my coffee table, and Miles ate the entire tray, licked the entire tray clean. He started freaking out. My wife at the time is a vet tech. So she's like, she's seen the movie before. Like, they bring animals
There's
in like
that
all
the
time.
There's not much you can do.
There's nothing you can do about it. But either way, it's her baby. It's her dog. So one way or another, his ass is going, to Shoreline or wherever the hell to get checked out. He was fine. There was nothing wrong with him.
Do you need to take your pet to the vet if you know it's because they ate weed? I mean, if you have a Chihuahua I get it. But I'm saying, a normal sized dog.
I think instinctively you're going to just because you're worried. I mean, like, you want some sort of reassurance if there's any that they can give to
you. Just
to
make sure it's the weed, I guess.
I mean, you're right, but I've heard this story before, and it's a lot like Miles. I'm pretty sure when you take him, there's kind of like,
just keep an eye on him, give him some water.
I saw a tiny dog that ingested an edible, and the dog was fine.
But
at one point we looked over and it was just standing there. It just fell over.
The dog did?
Yes, because it was only like a, six or...
Did anyone go pick the dog up or anything?
Yeah, we kind of tipped it back over. just like, God, it sounds awful. That dog went on to live for years, but it was just so funny as he would just stand there and go, ugh.
That's a good weed right there, man.
But same thing, they took him to the vet, and the vet was like, he's tiny, like he'll be okay. I can't imagine mentally where he's at.
Probably in a pretty good place. Probably chasing squirrels.
So a couple Christmases ago, we were on break, the show was off, and we're back home for the holiday season, and we had just moved into our new home. The wife, she wants a new cat. She is just she's beside herself. She wants to get herself a new kitten, right? So we go and we find this one. We got this cute little new guy. His name's Dominic. We get him, and he is probably the biggest troublemaker that we've had. I haven't had a black cat since I was, in single digits, but he fit right back into what I remember. They get into trouble. They're mischievous little things. So all of a sudden, you know, we're hanging out. This thing is just weeks old. He jumps up on top of the bed at one point. We're just hanging out in our room, and he jumps up on top of the bed, and all of a sudden he starts doing that move, right?
All right.
And she notices that there's bubbles forming, and she freaks out. She's like, he's foaming at the mouth. So she reaches in there, she pulls something out, and there is a pill that has now been chewed on.
Oh.
Yeah, this is not good. So she's identifying the pill while I grab this kitten by the scruff, and I'm shoving his head underneath the sink like, drink! Just drink! It was gabapentin.
What the hell is that?
It's a certain kind of a drug that, I, to be honest with you, I'm not sure what it is, but my wife uses it, and she uses it frequently, and so she freaked out. She ended up having to call an emergency vet, an emergency call service. She had to spend extra money, like $80, to get emergency advice on whether or not this was okay.
Advice.
Which is basically them going onto Google saying, oh, yeah, actually, they prescribe gabapentin to cats all the time. He's going to be a little bit sleepy, but he'll be fine. Like, I got it.
Your guess is as good as mine. Count of our categories today, the states that spend the most on fast food, rat-infested cities as well. And we got your emails coming up next in the men's room at KISW.com.